Let's all go to the lobby. 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 Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Shakedown, the weekly podcast that functions as a grab bag for all things film. I'm your host, Kyle Craigbaum.
And I'm your guest host, Dominic Ragazzi.
That is who you are.
Yeah.
Jordan is out of town. He didn't tell me what he was going for. I'm assuming he's like...
He's shooting a web series right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was setting that up to be like a gag, like he's like a spy or something, but you ruined it.
We didn't talk about this.
You ruined the gag. It's okay. I'm all right. This week, we are going to be talking about the new Alex Garland film, Men. So we decided to rewatch his previous two films, Ex Machina and Annihilation. We are also going to be talking about the new Disney Plus release, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Before we get into all that, how you doing?
I'm doing... Well, we just got back from Men.
Yeah?
Like 5 minutes ago.
Just like a little shell-shocked?
So yeah, I'm doing. Yeah.
You're doing?
I'm...
You are a man.
Yes.
Have you watched anything this week?
Yeah. So, I watched the show Winning Time.
It's been on my list. Jordan keeps talking about it, like, every week.
Yeah, it's really good. I really
did you finish it?
Yeah, I finished it.
How many episodes?
It's 10. 10 episodes. And there's supposed to be another season. Which
okay.
Which I can totally see them doing. Because they
totally enough material?
Yeah, it was really good. Really stylistic. Characters
I've seen the
strong.
Way it's shot. It's really cool.
It's a cool show. It's a lot of fun.
And I saw a BTS on TikTok the other day of someone on roller skates shooting the basketball scene.
Yeah. They do some fun stuff.
That's
with
cool,
that.
Man.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want to watch it. I was originally thrown off because of Adam McKay.
Oh, this is like, I don't know. It his
style.
His like stamp on it is very. It works.
I mean, I love Succession, and he directed the first couple of that. So.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a chance. Would you give a rating to the first season?
I would give it on 8 out of 10. I had so much fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it now. Damn.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it.
Hell yeah. I rewatched the miniseries Midnight Mass.
Mm.
It's like my third time now.
Yeah.
I love the show. I have been championing Flanagan as one of my favorite horror filmmakers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how he ties in the horror with grounded elements, grief and addiction. And I think he puts in the effort to add extra layers to the horror.
Yeah, he has an interesting voice. And
he's certainly unique with his voice. Mm-hmm. Like it or hate it, he's a very writerly filmmaker.
Yes, yeah, very much. I do like Midnight Mass quite a bit.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
There's not much like it in the last year.
No. Yeah.
And I feel like it went under the radar because at the same time it came out, it was like the same week as Squid Game.
Oh, it was. I remember
and
that.
Squid Game was what was talked about. And I actually didn't watch Squid Game. I wanted to.
Yeah.
I watched Midnight Mass. I'm going to watch Squid Game. Probably closer to... Season 2, which is happening?
It's happening. Okay. Squid Game's good.
Yeah. I'll watch that. A movie that we both watched...
Yes.
With our friend Abby is a French film called Happening. And we saw it at our local indie theater we don't get out to often. But it's a French film set in the 60s about a college girl who gets pregnant... But it's back in the 60s in France where abortion is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a very subtle drama.
Very bleak.
Very bleak, subtle drama. Very, very timely.
Yeah.
Very timely. Could not have come out at a more timely time.
Right, yeah.
I want to pull up some actor names and stuff because...
Really great.
The lead performance by Anna Maria... Vardolome.
Mm-hmm.
She's excellent. She's so good.
She's phenomenal.
A lot of, like, face acting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of great close-ups. Just, it's such an intimate movie.
Right. Because, you know, it's not like exceptionally shot. But it's very sturdily shot. Like the cinematography is just nice. It's not like flashy, is what
Yeah, it's very bleak, but it's very well done.
Great color correction. And just the flow of it. I was never bored.
It's so well paced.
Very well paced.
It's really gripping for how kind of just matter of fact everything is.
Right. No, I think that this is a pretty essential viewing for a lot of people. In terms of the subject matter. And,
yes.
Like, you should watch this movie.
Yeah, I would for sure recommend it.
Yeah.
To anyone willing to go through that ride.
Yeah, right.
Because it's very intense.
It's very intense, but I think it's worth it. It's a 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 for me as well. Yeah. I thought it was great.
It's great.
Great direction.
Director is Audrey Diwan,
mm-hmm.
who's great. Yeah.
Great movie. Check it out if you can find it.
If it's near you.
If it's up your alley.
Is that all we watched besides...
Yeah.
All right. Let's dive in then to our 4 films today.
What are we starting with, Kyle?
We're going to start with Chip and Dale.
Chip and Dale.
Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers.
That is what I just said.
Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
That's the name of the film.
Yes.
It is a Disney Plus original film. It is about... Did you ever watch Chip and Dale growing up, or was that way before you?
No, I never watched.
I didn't either. I didn't grow up with it.
I grew up with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with.
Yes.
Yeah. That trilogy.
See, I don't know. I don't know if they were ever playing, reruns of this on anything, but I don't remember it at all.
No, I don't. I haven't seen a lick of it.
I
knew what it was.
The only thing I've seen of it now is the clips that they show in this movie.
So I wasn't connected to it in any way.
And this is it's a film in the style, not genre wise, but in the style of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where it's live action with cartoon characters.
Yeah. And the world is inhabited by cartoon characters.
And it takes place in a world where, all these cartoon characters are, actors that are, in their, animated shorts.
Yeah, it's kind of how, I would picture how they made animated movies if I were a kid, you know?
Right.
They have them in front of cameras.
There's, chipmunk actors.
There's, mini sets and stuff. It's meta, but it's cute and fun in that kind of way that it's presented.
Right. And, Chip and Dale are the two best friends who are on the show Chip and Dale, and then they have, a falling out, and it takes place a couple decades later, and they have to solve a mystery involving one of the other actors from Chip and Dale who goes missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an array of cartoon characters that have been going missing.
Yeah, and they have to get to the bottom of the mystery.
Yeah, and they reunite after years of losing contact with each other. One of them has gone Hollywood, and the other one has... lived a very simple life since their fame.
And I remember seeing a trailer a couple months ago. I did not like it.
I never saw a trailer for this.
I saw it on Twitter. I was not excited. It looked like Space Jam 2. And then I found out it was being directed by Akiva Schaffer, who did Hot Rod, and he did Pop Star.
Funny movies.
Pop Star is my second favorite comedy of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a little more excited there. And then I found out that the two main voices are John Mulaney and
Andy Samberg.
And I got even more excited. And I was like, oh, maybe. I like this movie.
Let's talk about it.
Where do you want to start?
I want to start with... I don't know, actually. I mean, I don't want to go into spoiler territory.
Yeah, don't go spoilers yet. We'll hop in. Spoiler free at first.
I want to talk about just the framing of how it works with the meta stuff. Because I think that's the main pull of it.
That's what
people are going to come out of it with.
Right.
That's what I knew nothing about this movie going in. So when I watched it, they do some clever stuff.
That's what the trailer set up. The trailer set it up as this meta big crossover event.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's how you market every movie these days, don't you know?
Yeah.
It's, like I said earlier, these cartoon player characters are like actors playing themselves. So, you see, they're Comic-Con is a setting, and all these different cartoon characters have their, like, booths and stuff.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of different cameos mm-hmm. from different cartoon ones. One great cameo, I'll talk about it in spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, they do some clever stuff with the framing of the movie.
With how the world is set up. It didn't feel entirely like a Space Jam 2 type thing.
No, because they had plot reasons behind usually what they were showing.
Yeah, there was like a world building aspect to it, which I appreciated. They kind of, mm-hmm. you know, they lay out why, and, like, you know, it's very goofy, right. But they lay out why this is.
And it's fun to see one of these types of movies that you think is just going to be a self-referential, like, circle jerk for nerds.
Right, it doesn't really rely on that.
And it doesn't rely on it, and it kind of gives funny reasons, like, it pokes fun at, like, mid-2000s animation.
Yeah,
And, you know, like, different, like, it pokes fun at, like, the industry a bit.
Yeah, mostly, like, the animation industry.
And, like, and kind of reboots and like, CGI. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes fun of all that, and it's, you know, it's welcome in this, like, dry wasteland of a pop culture. Where I guess what I want to get into your thoughts on, like, because I know how you feel about the movie.
I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah.
I'm not... I don't think it was very good.
Yeah.
Mostly, you know what? The IP and all that, like, meta stuff wasn't as big as a problem for me.
Right. I didn't...
I had a little bit of an issue with some of it.
It was, like, some of the Comic-Con stuff at the end. They were, like, running around showing... But
the main problem with me was just the characters in, like, the script... Like,
it's very predictable.
It's very kind of like by the books, paint by numbers.
It should have been a little wilder.
I think I think they played it a little safe. And
yeah.
That's what pulled me out of it, like, halfway in. When everything was set up, I was starting to lose interest.
I think that's fair. And there were times when I lost it, but I found, like, the whole whimsical attitude fun. And it made me laugh a decent bit, I'll say.
Oh yeah,
like,
I had some really funny bits in there.
Like, I was laughing, and I thought Andy Samberg was having a lot of fun. Mulaney was okay, I guess.
I did not enjoy Mulaney. I think he was miscast.
I think he was miscast. He feels, you know, he feels very bland in it.
Yeah, he has that, like, cadence in his voice. Like,
yeah,
like it works so well in Spider-Verse because that character's a joke.
Right. And he's also exaggerating his voice more.
And this, he plays the straight man. He plays Chip.
Yeah.
The straight man.
Dale is, like, the more wild one.
But I didn't connect with his voice and character at all. I kind of was, like, bored by him.
Really?
Yeah.
That, I can see that. I honestly understand that. Andy Samberg's the one that carried this in terms of, like, those two.
Yeah, Andy Samberg, yeah, definitely has that.
And, like, a lot of the supporting voice performances are really funny. J.K. Simmons plays a side character, a detective, that's mm-hmm. very funny. Very good role for him. Seth Rogen has a funny part. I think Key from Key and Peele.
Yes.
Keegan-Michael Key. You know, there's some fun.
Eric Bana?
Eric, that was weird.
Yeah.
I saw the credits after. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Eric Bana plays a part in this movie.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw Eric Bana?
Hulk 2003. That, for me, at least.
That can't be the last time.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Goddamn.
What else I've seen him in.
Fair enough. There's a girl in it, a human. Kiki Lane is the actress. I did not think she was very good.
No, I felt bad because...
And I think she's been in other movies that are, like, good.
Yeah, she was very much... I feel like it was held back by her having to interact with solely, like, animated characters that aren't there. It felt like Alvin and the Chipmunks type thing mm-hmm. where, like, mm-hmm. it's a little disconnected, you know?
Yeah, right. And yeah, there's something. I mean, she's not. It's not like she's given a lot to work with, but you know, like yeah.
And it's not like it mattered too much.
No, it didn't. We can hop into spoilers. There's a lot, you know, like cameos.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Let's hop in.
What would you give the movie?
Oh, right.
We do that before spoilers.
I give it a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Yeah. I like how you change it every time we rate our movies. 4 out of 10. 2 out of 5.
Oh yeah, 2 out of 5.
I'm giving this one a 48 out of 96. No, I'm going to give... Honestly, it's a light 3.5 for me.
Yeah.
I honestly enjoyed myself. And I thought I was going to hate it. But I thought it was like a light, fun watch that a kid will enjoy.
Yeah, I certainly didn't hate it.
So one of the main cameos that's in the first 10 minutes that really, I mean, got me, and it's all over the internet right now, is Ugly Sonic.
Well, I went into that knowing that he was in it, and yeah. I didn't expect him to be, like, that big of a part of the movie as he was.
Yeah. Like, the way they reveal him sitting at that booth is really funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny guy.
That really worked for me.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how they, like, could do that. It's, like, fair use.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have to, like, get any permission or talk.
Well, they had, like, a lot of different universes and stuff, or, like owned properties.
Right. But Ugly Sonic, I know specifically they didn't have to ask or do anything.
Wow.
As long as they called him Ugly Sonic, because it's a parody, so it's free use.
Oh.
Yeah. And the director being interviewed, he kind of says, I leave this up to the lawyers. One trip up and it could cause a lawsuit, like with like having to like
interesting
allude to it. So I think, I don't know, I just thought that was a cool piece of info that I saw.
I like that. It made me laugh really hard. There's a part where one of them's walking down the road and it's a sign for Gucci in the background, but it's Dobby.
I didn't see that until I saw a post on Twitter. I didn't notice that, and that is the funniest thing
Jane
I've ever seen.
Jane actually noticed it and rewound the movie, and I was like, are you fucking Gucci?
You know, sometimes the movie felt like a shit post, and when I enjoyed it the most.
Because if you have to boil down my humor into one movie, it's Popstar.
Yeah.
Because they make these movies that are just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it makes them laugh. You can tell, like, they think it's funny.
Yes, that is very
They make
true.
Movies that they think are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the humor in this felt like it was, like, authentic to the filmmaker.
For sure.
Very little did it feel like it was pandering to, like,
no.
children.
And it's simply held back by the fact that it does still have to be a Disney movie.
It has to serve.
Like, it can poke fun at Disney, but it's still, at the end of the day...
A Disney movie is a Disney movie. Yeah.
Yeah. If this was, like, an animated movie outside of Disney, it probably would have been a lot better.
Probably. I don't even know if it could have been done, but...
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, you'd have to, like, allude to all of them, like, Ugly Sonic.
Yeah.
You have to, like, parody all of them, but... Yeah, it didn't feel pandery because, like, it didn't feel like it was shoving in, like, Disney characters.
No, it
like,
felt,
there wasn't
yeah.
even, like, I was actually expecting, like, a Mickey Mouse or, like a Goofy or, and none of them are in it.
No, it felt more, like, way more in tune with, like, the story they were trying to tell.
Right.
Albeit the story being, like, a little bit, like, just by the books.
By the books. Very generic mystery. The bad guy is, Sweet Pete, who is Peter Pan.
Yes, yeah,
who,
he's revealed as Peter Pan.
This is a pretty controversial element of the movie.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. That's the thing.
You know, I've read the arguments. I'm someone who's known the story about the Peter Pan voice actor.
Right.
It's a very depressing story. But there's so many elements that have parodied Peter Pan growing old before.
I know, that's like become like a, that's like a trope.
That is a trope.
And also
there's a lot of washed up child actors. And I also don't feel like it's making fun of the kid as much as it's like it is critiquing the industry in a way, you know.
Yeah, a little bit, but
and not as much as it should be, but it's a Disney movie, they're not gonna let it go.
Right, that's why I think it kind of is in that purgatory where I don't think where it's like intentional, like I think it was a coincidence. I really do.
Yeah,
because like you said, it's kind of just follows that trope of like the child actor, but it just so happens that it's Peter Pan.
Right, right.
And they don't go in, like, too explicitly. Like, they like nothing...
No.
Really, like, dives into, like, matching the actual story
right.
of the...
Yeah.
The young actor.
Yeah, they keep it vague enough.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like the animation. I thought it was cute. I thought everything was pretty well animated.
Yeah,
I liked the blending of styles.
I liked the style. I thought that was really cool. They did like stop motion, like claymation.
They did puppet work.
Yeah, they threw a lot into it, which kept me like
that crack
like,
house
engaged.
Puppet scene is my it was a funny
yeah,
scene.
Yeah,
the cheese house.
That was really funny. My main issue with it visually is the live action elements were really flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for Who Framed Roger Rabbit, that's like a noir. So it adapts that genre and how it should look. This didn't really, like, it looked like a Diary of a Wimpy Kid, like flat.
Like the live action, yeah, for sure, for sure.
And I was just like, I wish they put some more into it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because, and
if they could have helped.
And also, I actually watched some clips of Roger Rabbit after I watched this for comparison. And in Roger Rabbit, the animated characters move props around a lot.
Right. This didn't... I was looking for it. They got lazy, man. I could tell they didn't want to, like, fuck with that.
That is, yeah.
They did
and
not
And I still don't
that.
Know how Roger Rabbit pulled some of it off.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. They'll, like, pull chairs across the room and then, like, get on the deck. And this didn't have that element, which would have bumped it, like, propelled it upward.
It would have propelled, like, how it... You know, is, but I was kind of disappointed with that.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley was funny.
I think that was my favorite, like,
joke,
kind of joke part of the movie.
Yeah, they go to Uncanny Valley and make fun of, like, that Polar Express style of, like, motion capture.
Yeah,
and Seth Rogen plays a character who.
This is where, like, the crime people, like, live, and it's
and there's a Seth Rogen cinematic universe introduced.
There is, yeah. They do a little. Everybody shows up.
Bob, the mantis from Kung Fu Panda, and Pumbaa.
Mm-hmm. Pumbaa, yes.
Yeah, Pumbaa.
This joke fell flat for me, but...
The dead eyes one?
No. That was funny.
No.
When he just does his laugh. Like, they do his laugh
that
for
was
like
hilarious
5 seconds.
Me. I like that.
I was like, okay, it's Seth Rogen, I get it.
I don't know, his laugh is the most ridiculous sounding thing in the world, so it'll always make me laugh.
Yeah.
But I get that. Overall, there's not much more to say. I think we've exhausted Chip and Dale.
I don't really have much to
like,
say.
Like, it's
about
not
it.
Like, again, it's a simple plot. J.K. Simmons is like a twist bad guy, but not a twist because it's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
The animation with his, like, claymation was funny at the end.
Was
fighting her.
Yeah,
that was actually my favorite scene. That was the one time when, like, there was live action interacting with, like, stop motion, and it looked cool.
And it felt, like, really engaging.
And she kind of gave herself over to, like, the physical comedy. Like, she was, like,
That was a good scene, yeah.
I enjoyed that. And overall, I think kids will enjoy it. I think it's worth watching for kids if you have a kid.
Throw
it on, for sure. They won't get any of the references, but it doesn't really matter to a kid.
Yeah,
they're shit-eating fucking... smelly. I don't like kids. So Chip and Dale, I liked it. Dom did not.
No.
But you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I wanted some more from it.
Yeah.
Just, like, character-wise.
Yeah.
I saw where it was going, and I was kind of invested for, like, the first, like, half or so, and then I kept dropping off.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's get into this man. The one, the only, Alex Garland.
Alexander Garland.
This man started as a writer, right? An author?
I think he's a novelist.
A novelist.
And then he started writing movies.
Writing movies. He has written a lot of good movies before.
Mm-hmm.
28 Days Later, Dread, Sunshine. Like, he's a legit writer. I love Sunshine. And Dread is a banger. And 28 Days Later... And then in 2015, he makes his directorial debut with Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
And do you want to give a little plot synopsis for Ex Machina?
Yes. So it's about this guy.
Yep.
And he wins a little work sweepstakes from his work.
He works for like a Google company, a Google type company.
He's like a coder, tech guy. He works in big tech. And he gets this, he wins this sweepstakes, and he gets to go out and basically meet the boss of the company, like the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and stays at his estate in the vast forest that he lives in. The news is why he's there, is he's there to test an artificial intelligence.
He is the human component in a Turing test.
A Turing test, yeah.
That is a good plot rundown. This has been out since 2015. Spoilers for Ex Machina.
Yeah,
Spoilers for Ex Machina and Annihilation. Those two will be spoiled. So, Ex Machina, it's a well-worn premise, especially in the last few years. A lot of things have tackled AI.
Oh, yeah.
This was before, like, a big rush of it, but this was, you know, it feels like a Black Mirror episode.
It does feel, yeah, it feels very much Black Mirror. I guess, like, if you wanted to relate it to something, like, Blade Runner has done this.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big, and it is an intrinsically interesting concept.
It is different. It's not like, it doesn't take, like,
no.
Blade Runner and those types of things.
No, no, it has its own tone, which we'll get.
And it has its own themes that are,
we'll get into throughout these movies, but Alex Garland has his own voice for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of his movies takes elements, but it is a original thing.
Right.
What I will say about this, I've seen it, like, a lot of times since 2015, every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this movie. I really enjoy it. I think that there's like a flow that it has that really kind of hooks me in every time I watch it. Where I'm in Caleb's character because he kind of is like a voyeur for the audience.
Very
for
much
sure.
So. Yeah.
And you feel like you're in his shoes as just this crazy shit starts happening.
Yeah, I want to talk about, what's his name?
His character's name?
No, the other guy.
Nathan?
Nathan. I want to talk about his character.
Yeah.
Just, because he's more of like, he's like the character in the movie that
he's
you
kind of
learn the most about.
Yeah.
They do something very interesting with, like, you know, this tech mogul. He's not what you would, I guess, think it is.
No.
Like, something very different. He's a complete Chad.
Yeah.
He's just this, just fratty dude.
This dude, yeah.
And he happens to own the biggest tech company in the world.
Right. I think, handily, Oscar Isaac is the best part of this movie.
Yes, he is.
I think he's fucking great.
He's really good.
Because it's not a normal Oscar Isaac performance.
Right, and it's not that doubled with, it's not like a normal character for this type of story.
No, and his dialogue is very witty, but he's such a douche. Like,
right.
But it's he's funny at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great along with Alicia Vikander, who I also think she is playing Ava. She's playing the artificial intelligence, and she's great.
She's great in it.
She's
yes.
great in this movie. Domhnall Gleeson is serviceable. He's fine, but he's not really given much to.
He's very much dedicated as the voyeur for the audience. And,
yes.
And his dichotomy, his character works best paired with Nathan's character.
His American accent sometimes is a little, yeah. is a little
yeah.
spotty.
Yeah, sometimes. I did.
He'll say, like, certain words. I'm like, okay. Sure. But yeah, Oscar Isaac and Alicia Vikander. I also really like the use of mirrors in the cinematography. I think reflections.
Oh, constantly.
Constantly.
Constant.
And it's
movement.
Very, it's cool. Cool, mm-hmm. well-framed stuff. It's one of my favorite, it's one of the most memorable movie houses for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's something about it where, like, the production design is pretty ace.
Yeah, I don't know what the budget for this was. I don't think it was
15 million.
15 million.
Yeah, 15
okay.
million.
That's very low for what this movie looks like. The visual effects.
Seamless.
Amazing.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
They're the part near the end where they're like, where the robots can, like, peel skin off the other robots and kind of, like, Frankenstein them together. Looks
cool
incredible.
Cool imagery with that. Like, the eyes, mm-hmm. the eye sockets.
There's a really cool where she, like, pops, like, an arm into, like, socket and, mm-hmm. like, it's really cool. It grips me the whole way through.
I think it runs a little stale. I enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm going to bring this up with every single Alex Garland movie we talk about because
okay.
I really see a running theme in how his movies work for me.
Yeah.
There's like, I don't know. It just runs stale. Like, it seems like it's one note for like, it doesn't really drag, I wouldn't say, but it's kind of going, it's kind of going the same way, and it's not like, it doesn't veer until, like, the last act. Like, nothing is different, except for the
okay.
the strong characters that he introduces,
okay.
and then that ending.
But it can feel a little static.
Yeah, it can feel a little static. It being one location, they shoot all these, it's kind of, he breaks his movie, this movie, up into chapters.
Sure.
Into sessions with Ava.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, my issue is, like, they're all kind of shot the same. It's mostly dialogue is what you're listening to.
Yeah.
It's, in terms of, like, story-wise, visually, I look for more of that.
Yeah.
And I think Annihilation improves on that quite a bit.
Yeah.
But Ex Machina, for me, it kind of runs stale for that second act, until things start to ramp up
again. I can understand that. I thought the dialogue was good enough and compelling enough, and the characters were good enough that it, like, pushes me through that second act.
Mm-hmm.
My one issue with the movie is a specific scene.
Oh, yes. I agree.
And it's a scene where after our character Caleb breaks into Nathan's office and kind of sees CCTV footage of him, like, previously putting together robots and, like, them trying to escape and, like, breaking limbs off, like, disturbing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he notices, like, how human-like they look and, like, how real they look. And so he starts to get paranoid and he slices his arm open in his room.
To kind of test to see, you know, if
the problem is, the thing is, a concept of someone thinking they are an AI and getting paranoid can totally work if you set it up.
And it's never set up.
It's set up for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's not set up.
It feels so strange. Jarring.
It's so weird.
And it's kind of obnoxious because it really lingers on how just the shock of, like, what he's doing to himself. He's like, he cuts his arm, like, so far down with a razor.
He cuts it long ways.
Long ways.
Yeah.
They never
acknowledge it
again. They don't acknowledge, yeah. Like,
Oscar Isaac has a line about it. Like, oh, you cut your arm open. But, like, such a weird scene. It really feels like Alex Garland had, like, the idea for the imagery he wanted to use and kind of just put it in.
Yeah, it felt like if you took it out, I wouldn't notice.
No, it actually would flow better.
Probably, yeah.
I think the actual climax is pretty cool and has some very memorable, mm-hmm. like the twist of her leaving him, which is exactly what Nathan said she would do.
Right.
Use him to escape is good, and I like that.
And yeah, I like that, and how it pairs with just how like.
Yeah.
It's very much a movie about masculinity and like feminism and how men kind of treat that, and mm-hmm. so, like, Nathan's definitely that fratty dude who he all of the AI he has created has mm-hmm. been women, like,
right.
they appear as women, and they have a good scene talking about gender, which I didn't, because I watched this years ago.
It's a good scene,
and
I know what you're talking about,
and I just this scene the when I rewatched it this time I didn't remember that scene, and as I was picking up on themes I didn't pick up on before, I was happy that they had a scene kind of dedicated to that.
Yeah, that is a good scene.
It's a great scene. Good dialogue about that. But yeah, and then Domhnall Gleeson's character is kind of like, he's
one of the good guys.
You know, he kind of takes, he's like, has that savior complex.
Exactly.
Where he kind of wants to save
mm-hmm.
Ava.
Mm.
And it's, yeah, I think it's very, it's interestingly done.
I think the first, or what sells the ending for me is the last 2 shots, which I love. I love the crosswalk shot with the shadows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I love, yeah.
Really
good setup payoff. What I will say about this film, as well as all of Alex Garland's films, because they're all done by the same person, Jeff Barrow does the score. And I like the score for all these movies.
Mm-hmm,
they all sound radically different.
Yes. Yeah.
But good. Like, this first one, it feels very industrial, but also it feels synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
But Ava's theme is like this dreamlike.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's like really
euphoric.
Yeah. It's really nice and good stuff all around. I really enjoy this movie. It's the most simple of his movies, for sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. It's very cut and dry. It's like the crowd pleaser of them.
Yeah,
Most people could enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm. This is one you could... it's the most accessible.
Accessible. Most accessible. Easily.
Have a good time. It's like a extended Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. It works for me. I'd give it a 4 out of 5.
I give it a 3 out of 5.
Yep. All right.
Decent stuff.
Then we move on to 2018's Annihilation.
Yes.
We watched this in theaters together, didn't we?
Yes, we did. I will never forget this theater experience.
No, because this is a hard movie to forget.
Yes.
Annihilation follows a zone. Do they
called
ever
the Shimmer.
It's called the Shimmer.
Yes.
Do they say where in the world it is? Or like,
no, I don't think they ever.
Unspecific area. And it's basically
it's on the coast of something
from space crashed down to Earth and created this zone, and it looks like this giant like bubble of this strange material. And for years they've been trying to send people in to study it, and they've all gone missing.
And it's constantly expanding.
And so Natalie Portman, who plays a biologist in this,
and a former Marine,
she finds herself intertwined in this kind of like study when her her husband returns after he was pronounced dead from the war, like missing in action, killed in action, whatever. He comes back.
She never knew where he was going.
No. And he comes back and he is not all there. He's not all there. And
he doesn't seem the same as... I just love the way they do that. We'll talk about that when we get the plot rundown, but...
Yeah. And so she ends up, you know, in this situation where she has to enter the Shimmer with a group of other females. There's a she's a biologist. There is a what are the other
an EMT.
There's an EMT. What is Tessa Thompson? She's another like a science. I'm forgetting what type.
But, I don't remember.
But yeah, this group of women all go into the Shimmer to figure out the mystery and get to the lighthouse, which is where the meteor first crashed.
It's like the center, like the epicenter of
what epicenter happened. Of the
And, because there was a group of people that have been gone in previously, like just before them, and they haven't come back.
This movie bumps.
Yeah.
This movie's good.
It's pretty darn good. Yeah.
This is so far the creative apex of Alex Garland's career. I think he really hits it out of the park.
It's here. A novel. It is a novel. This is an adaptation.
Yeah, and I've heard it doesn't follow it to a T at all.
I don't know much. I own either. The novel. I haven't read it.
I want to read it. I do want to read it. This movie is so unique because on the surface, it's a pretty simple sci-fi, but there's layers under it. There's layers about grief and self destruction and identity that like kind of run under it.
It has pretty strong themes.
It's a movie where, you know, you watch like the first half and you're like, this is solid, this is good. And then like the last third ramps it up into another stratosphere.
Yeah, in Alex Garland fashion, it kind of, I don't know, something twists about it.
Something twists, but unlike Ex Machina, I actually think that the first act, it might be the weakest, the second act starts to ramp things up, and the third brings it home.
I actually disagree.
You think the second act's the weakest?
I think the first act is very engaging.
I like the first act. I like the whole movie.
I just love the way they open this movie. I love it. Like, how they do the return of her husband so...
That like, scene is so good.
Matter of fact, he just kind of enters the frame. Mm-hmm. And it just throws you off.
Yep.
As much as it throws the character off.
There's such a great shot with him at the dining room table, and it's down a hallway, and he's like partially cut off.
Yeah. The refraction of his hand through his glass of water.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac he's in this movie for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He does something that blew me away.
Yeah.
When he takes a sip of water.
Yeah.
He does something weird.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. He like drinks it, not in like a too flashy weird way, but in enough way where I'm like, that is not the same guy. And I don't even know who this character is.
Right.
And I just think that's incredible.
Yeah.
I really love the way they open this movie and how they introduce these characters.
And then government officials, he starts like coughing up blood. It's really intense.
Yeah, he has a seizure.
He's coughing up blood. It's really bad. And in the ambulance ride, they're kidnapped by government agents, and they're now on the site next to the Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where our main character learns what's happening.
And
how he was there. That's where he came from.
Yep.
And he was the only person they've ever known to get out.
Yep. And then they have to go into the Shimmer, and shit goes crazy.
Yeah, it just increasingly gets a little weirder.
Little weirder. The score in this one is very, well, the score at the end is indescribable.
We'll get to the third act.
But for that, it's a lot of, like, guitar, like, a lot of, it sounds like Last of Us.
Yeah,
and it really works.
I love the score for this.
Like, I love, you know, like, I love them entering the Shimmer, and then you cut to a flashback, because they kind of structure the movie around flashbacks.
They do, which I On rewatch of this, I struggled to see why, like, it kind of breaks tension for me.
I didn't need it.
Because the movie is very, it's, again, this movie's framed in chapters.
Yes, for sure.
And every chapter, pretty much, it goes back to a flashback of Natalie Portman's character after everything has happened in the movie.
Yeah.
And she's being interrogated about what happened in the show.
That one's a little weird.
Yeah,
that one's weird. I was mainly talking about the other flashbacks that work for me. Her and Oscar and Isaac. She has an affair in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was nice and good.
Yes, I liked all of that.
You're talking about the Benedict Wong framing device.
The interrogation and framing device.
It only makes up, like, 2 minutes of screen time, so it really doesn't affect me all that much.
I think it breaks the tension of, like, the movie for me, but also, like, just the tension of, like, the sequences that's happening.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I wish it was...
It feels like a reshoot.
Right.
By studios.
Yeah.
God, this movie could have been a disaster. I was reading about it today, so, like, the test screenings were terrible.
Oh, really?
People hated it. And so, some producers wanted it to be changed because they thought it was too intellectual. And there was another producer who had Final Cut say, and he was like, no.
Good.
He was like, no.
Good for that producer.
Because he was, like, good friends with Alex Garland. He was like, no. Nice. We're not changing this.
Okay.
Cool. It could have been so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But no. And I love how, like, immediately after they enter the Shimmer, you cut. And then it's been, like, 5 days later.
Yeah. I just like the way they immediately...
You're in.
They immediately give you some tension. Like, they've already...
And then you're like, and then
already
you're like,
something
weird's and then you're like, all right, they're gonna ramp this up slowly, and then there's immediately an alligator attack.
Yeah,
and they start to do so. Basically, the Shimmer, it's a big bubble, and you find out as you're going that everything within it, all human, plant, animal DNA, is being goes up and refracts back, and so it's creating these amalgamous beings where flowers are kind of growing. Inside of themselves, and animals have different animals' teeth, and, like...
There's mutated...
It's mutating everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's annihilating everything. It's changing things.
And, yeah.
And that is a big theme that runs through this movie, is change. And self-destruction.
Self-destruction.
They list that one, but, like, how the characters handle the change of themselves and of the environment is a big theme.
Yeah, each of the characters have their own pasts.
Yeah.
Which...
Like, you can directly directly compare and contrast how Gina Rodriguez handles it to how Tessa Thompson handles, like, themselves changing.
And them seeing, like, what's happening inside.
Gina Rodriguez's character loses her mind and Tessa Thompson embraces it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And has, like... What is considered a happy ending?
She, like, becomes a tree, almost.
Yeah.
Like a human tree.
Yeah, she.
She
embraces the change.
The way they connect the characters to the kind of themes of the movie.
And yeah.
They just kind of tell you.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think that's the weakest part is as the ensemble, like, ensemble and character-wise, I think that's the weakest part of the movie. Because I like the way, like you're saying, like, how they visually, like, tell you how, you know, how they react to things and how the events in the movie.
There is exposition here that is not needed.
There's a whole scene where Natalie Portman's on a boat with one of them and she literally just explains to Natalie
I know it. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, she's sober.
Yep.
She's recovering from depression.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's an Alex Garland problem.
Yeah, and she directly says, Tessa Thompson's character, she says, I remember she says she hides cuts on her arms, and Natalie Portman's like, oh, she tried to commit suicide, and she's like, no, I think she tried to feel alive.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then she does that, like, yeah. She embraces, I'm like, that didn't need to be in.
Right.
Like, it's a little on the nose.
Yeah, his writing is on the nose sometimes with dialogue.
Which
is strange, yeah. Because he also tells things visually really well.
Really well. Like, it's so good. Just that whole third act.
And I actually read a Letterboxd review which viewed this movie as an allegory for cancer.
Wow. Because
they mention cancer multiple times. They do the cells at the beginning of the movie.
Well, Jennifer Jason Leigh's character
has cancer.
Has cancer. One of the
girl's daughter died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
The lecture that Natalie Portman's giving at the beginning is about studying cancer cells.
Right.
And how... Yeah, cancer fully changes the body. Like, yeah, yeah. I thought it was an interesting theory.
And we see it as a sickness.
I thought, yeah.
Whether or not it should be or...
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Death is...
But,
very,
yeah.
Very interesting
I think. I think the first half is solid. I think it's really good. There's some great visual effects. There's some weaker ones, but...
There's some weaker ones. On rewatch here, I was a little thrown off by some of it.
It was just a little bit of it.
Some of it just looks really digital and really, like, I don't know.
It really didn't bother me that much.
It doesn't bother me too much because, to me, like, the shimmer is very...
the color palette's very
neat. It's very trippy.
Yeah.
Looks
like an oil spill.
Yeah, it does. So, a lot of, like, the stuff that
but,
looks
like,
a
the
little
big
digital
moments
is fine.
Work for me, like, the big visual effects moments. I think the alligator looks really cool.
And the bear scene.
The bear looks great. That scene is fucking awesome.
Like, they do, like, an actual, like, mouth of the bear for one of the shots.
Yeah. That kill, that where Gina Rodriguez gets her jaw bitten off or slapped off, that shit's awesome.
The sound design of just the screams that the bear...
It's so good.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
They, like, the bear, like, that's imitates...
That's the first scene that, like, kicks off the third act and, sends you, like, right into it.
Yeah, I think the second act for me is it's when that kind of staleness starts happening where they kind of just move from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
Things are getting a little weirder, but it's kind of, like... They're just, like, talking about it and moving from place to place, and I get a little antsy. Like, I want things to be a little more tense.
Right.
Because right off the bat, we see an alligator attack Tessa Thompson's character, and then it's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so they're capable of getting out of these situations.
Right.
But they ramp it up enough to where I really, like, end up enjoying it all the way through.
Yes, I agree.
Great scene where they discover the video of the men who were there before.
Oh my god.
And
it's Oscar
Isaac's character cuts open his comrade's
stomach
and it's his intestines are moving like worms. That's
incredible.
There was a line there afterwards that Gina Rodriguez's character says where she's like, "It's the trick of the light."
Yeah.
Come on. That's such a terrible line. That's terrible.
Gina Rodriguez gets all the worst dialogue.
She does, and I feel so bad.
I know.
She gets the worst dialogue.
She does get the worst
trick
dialogue.
Trick of the light, you see clearly what's happening to that man. That is not like something that's like vague.
Yeah. Well, but then what softens the blow of that line a little bit is they literally argue right back with her.
Yeah.
Like, it's really... It's a defense mechanism.
Right.
She doesn't, like... Yeah.
Right. I wish it was more clear that, like, what she's doing is, like, obviously trying to deny what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Just not clear
But
enough.
To me, it reads as the character's dumb.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with you. The first two acts of this movie are solid. It's a good movie. It's solid sci-fi.
It grips you well, it engages you, and it carries on.
It's the third act that propels this thing up.
The third act is
masterful.
Something I will never forget watching in a movie theater. And the feeling walking out and looking at everybody that we saw it with.
I don't think another movie since, before or since, made me feel the way that the climax does. Just all-encompassing dread.
Yeah, I was...
A pit in my stomach that, like, I felt sick.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, graphic or disturbing.
Not graphic.
It's just... So Natalie Portman is the only one left alive after the events of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to the lighthouse. And some funky shit happens. So, like, in the center of the lighthouse is where the meteor crashed and...
It's like this black hole-looking thing.
Black hole thing that... Her blood accidentally gets into and it creates this alien. And it is a terrifying scene.
It's just like a carbon copy of her.
It's like what I get out of it is it does not know how to do anything and it is mimicking her movements to learn.
Exactly. Like it's like in real time, like refracting her movements becoming sentient.
This is like a 10-15 minute sequence and it is masterful.
Everything about it. I don't think there's any dialogue.
The vision.
She discovers like a video of Oscar Isaac and like what he tried to do.
Yeah. He blows himself up with a phosphorus bomb.
Yeah.
Brutal. And then, yeah, she goes to the center, and this thing is created. The music is indescribably horrific.
The music really adds to this. I'll never forget the way it sounds. It's
an incredible score.
It's one of my favorite endings to a movie.
And it is, yeah, it is just the dread, that song, and the way it moves next to her, the visual effects. This is where the visual effects are at their strongest. I think it looks great.
Yeah. It looks unrealistic and uncanny enough to where it unsettles you.
Exactly. It is
the movement. It's fantastic.
The fact that it looks not fully real is the biggest thing. Compliment.
It's really impressive. Like how they kind of restrain themselves.
Yeah.
I just would love to know what
the scene and it lasts just long enough, and it ends with her. She learns to like use it mimicking her to like have it grab one of the phosphorus bombs and blow itself up.
Yeah.
And it burns down the lighthouse. And she gets out of the refraction, the shimmer, and there's the scene where she's talking to Benedict Wong. And then she goes back to her husband, not her husband, whatever cloned him.
Mm-hmm.
And the last shot of the movie is her eyes kind of lighting up like the shimmer. Because obviously she got all that shit refracted into her.
Yeah.
I love the last scene with the two of them hugging.
Because
mm-hmm. the character hugs her like she hugged him at first.
Right.
Like that's the mimic that he learned on her, how to like hug.
Yeah.
Really like that.
I just love the open-endedness of it.
Yeah.
Like it ends perfectly. There's enough to ask questions about.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to explain everything.
I fucking love this movie. I think it's such a great sci-fi, and it really movies like this don't get made enough now.
Right.
Where it feels like old-fashioned, almost. Old-fashioned in its sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
To like keep things vague and open-ended and ambiguous.
And
but like
it's just weird enough to work.
Just weird enough.
It's accessible.
It doesn't feel like a normal sci-fi blockbuster, not at all.
No.
It is, yeah. It is cosmic horror in the end.
It's something that while Ex Machina is like his most accessible film, I would much rather show somebody this. Just to see the reaction,
bro. Everyone's reaction to this climax is priceless,
it's
man.
It's all worth it to get to the end.
Yeah.
I just can't, like, that, the fact that
they absolutely nail the ending.
Floors me.
They absolutely nail it. That's actually, every time I watch this movie, I'm like, maybe I'm going to like this one less this
right.
time.
Yeah.
And it's always the ending that wraps everything up so nicely. It's one of the best third acts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best third acts.
Yeah.
They really, that is the peak of Alex Garland's career so far, is how he decides to end this. I like the way it's shot. It's very nice. The color palette is really cool. It's like bland, but in a cool way, and everything's reflected with like the shimmer.
Yeah, I like the visuals a lot.
The visuals are nice. I like this movie, man.
I really like this movie. Yeah.
It's 4.5. It's a light 4.5. It's closer to a 4, but it's a 4.5 just for that ending.
Yeah, for me, it's a 4 out of 5.
Yeah,
it's great. I love it. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah, this movie rocks.
Yeah.
So we just saw Men.
Yes, we viewed Men.
So we're going to start with spoiler-free, although I don't know how much I can actually spoil about this movie, because that would require me to be able to verbally explain what happens in Men.
Basically everything the trailer tells you, I guess you can say.
Yeah, so our main character, who I have forgotten the name of, but is played by Jesse Buckley. Let me find this. It is Harper. Harper has dealt with a
traumatic event in the past involving the death of her husband. So she goes out to the English countryside to kind of escape her problems and rent out a place for like a week.
Have a moment of peace.
And in this town, there's some weird men doing some weird stuff.
Yeah. And she's being stalked.
They're being creepy. Something is wrong.
Something's afoot.
Something is afoot. Men are.
Men are afoot.
Men are afoot. how do you want to talk about this?
Well, I guess let's talk about how it fits into Alex Garland's filmography. Because I was really excited because just, you know, we have three films from him now.
Yeah. What's weird?
It strangely fits into what he's been doing.
While being very different.
Definitely the most different.
Well, even the way it's shot is different.
Yes.
It's same cinematographer I saw.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. He shoots it completely differently.
Yeah, very nice looking movie.
Sharp as hell. With some lovely, like, color correction. The greens look fantastic in this movie.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The movie looks great.
The color grading is fantastic. And it's a very normal movie for about 40 minutes. Yeah. Right after she takes a leisurely stroll down the woods, this movie gets a bit strange.
She takes a walk and that's when things start. That's when like the tension starts ramping up. When like as a general audience member, I'm like, okay, a villain may be being established here. There's something happening. We know her backstory. I don't think we can talk about this without spoiling it. But Alex Garland fashion, what it did for me.
Yeah.
Alex Garland wise.
Yeah.
For me, I very much see a trend in how he paces his films.
Yes.
Because some parts of his, of both Ex Machina and Annihilation kind of run a little stale. He treads the same water for a while.
Sure.
And then things begin to ramp up and then quickly peak to the third act.
Yeah.
So that's what I will say about just in general how I have noticed his films going.
I was really on board with this movie for a while. I liked the slow burn of the beginning. I liked the way it was shot. I liked Jesse Buckley's performance. I liked Rory Kinnear stretching his acting muscles here.
Yeah, man.
It's in the trailer. He plays all the men.
The performances are both great. Jesse Buckley and
him. Oh, yeah. Like, there's flashback scenes with Jesse Buckley and her marriage that are... she's great. She's very, very good.
She's phenomenal.
I was really on board for a while. This movie gets very weird and allegorical, and I think I understand the main allegory. There's like weird side ones that I don't fully understand.
There's some symbols
that I don't get. But like the overall message I get. I understand it. It's not deep.
No, it's not deep. And that's my problem.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem.
I've really been trying to like parse through this movie in my mind and like kind of get a handle on it, because I had no idea when I was leaving the theater. And I think I like it, but I do think it derails a bit at the end. Not for lack of cinematic effort. I think there's...
This movie, it's a big swing. It's a big swing.
There's crazy visual effects that are very creepy and some practical effects too that look pretty damn cool.
Some really unsettling imagery that's pretty like inspired.
They
like...
do some CGI faces that are uncanny, but it actually worked for me because of the context of the movie.
It didn't work for me.
No.
What you're talking about didn't work for me.
I didn't mind it. It looked weird, I think, didn't affect me. In terms of like a negative, but again, I feel like it goes too far into being weird.
I think it gets a little obnoxious.
I think it gets a little pretentious.
Yes, I was See, for the
I would have never used that word for Alex Garland before, right. But this one...
I was getting, like, really annoyed. Well, so, you were really, like, you were on board for most of it,
yeah,
right?
I was.
I was tolerating it. I was like, okay, I see exactly. Like, by, it shows its cards theme-wise mm-hmm. really quickly, and then it kind of just, to me, it was so one-note. I was I was just waiting for it the whole time to, like, ramp up and, like, say something else, because it was saying the same thing every 5 minutes. I was, in terms of how I was feeling, like, while I was watching it, like, towards that end, when it starts rising up, I couldn't take it seriously. I was very distracted and just, like...
Yeah,
I was completely, I was out of it. I wasn't in it. I was very, like, annoyed.
I could tell. I could tell you. I was not annoyed. It did lose me a bit. I think I enjoyed this movie, but I do think it's the weakest Alex Garland film. You know, I can't fully hate this movie because I love big swings.
I don't hate it. It's a big swing.
I love when I see a filmmaker fucking go for it, and he fucking goes for it.
He goes for it, yeah.
But I don't think it fully lands. I think that, yeah, it gets obnoxiously, like, self-important.
Oh, so self-important.
In the last, like, 15 minutes.
Man, that's what it kind of, like, that's what,
like, even
really,
when it started getting really
weird. I started
weird,
getting a little mad.
Even when it started getting really weird, like, I was still on board until it does a couple specific things in the last act where I was like, wow, yeah.
It was kind of douchey. I was like, dude. Like, just douchey? With considering the themes of the movie... Like, he was kind of reminding me of Domhnall Gleeson's character in Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Alex, like, we get it.
Oh, you, like, see how men
see,
are?
See, this is my view.
We do got to get into spoilers. Yeah, we've been
beating around the bush.
Stop tap dancing around the conversation.
Sorry if you've been listening to this and been waiting.
What would you give this movie?
I don't know. I don't think... It's subject to change if I ever watch this again.
That's okay. What's your initial rating?
My initial reaction rating is like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
So 2 out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I really liked it for a while. A 3.5. That's really high. I kind of liked this movie.
Damn, you liked it. The way you've been talking about it, you sound like you didn't like it.
Well, see, because... I need to get into spoilers to talk about.
Yeah, let's get into spoilers.
Let's give it a 3.5 for now.
For now.
For now.
We'll reconvene after
spoilers. Because the whole intro to this, I liked. I thought Rory Kinnear immediately, like, his performance as Jeffrey. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
It was really good.
I think it was going for, like, kind of funny.
Yeah.
At times.
It was.
Like,
Jeffrey was funny.
Jeffrey was, like, the relief of it. And it wasn't, like, it didn't feel like forced. It was really well done with how he was kind of...
And then she goes through a walk, and it's, like, a 15-minute sequence. There's some really gorgeous vistas. I like Jessie Buckley.
She's enjoying herself. You kind of understand, like, what she's been through, at least, by now.
The music in this one, again, I really like the music. This one, it incorporates, like, religious, like... hymns in there, which is very unique, like, vocally. I enjoyed it too, and she's enjoying herself, and you hear that religious hymn. I was like, this is unique. Then she does the
from the trailer
in the tunnel. That was pretty cool. And then they incorporate that in the score later. I like that. Then she's, like, stalked by a naked man.
Yep, yeah, that's the scene where things start getting, like, okay, like...
Oh, some weird shit's happening.
So, something's happening. So, she, at the end of the tunnel, she sees a silhouette of a man, and it starts running after her.
Yeah.
Which, that was, like, that's when the movie kind of engaged me.
Great
like,
moment.
I was like, holy shit, like, I'm kind of in it. Like, that's scary. Anything shot from far away...
Yeah, it's really cool.
And it starts coming
at
you.
It's a really cool shot. The whole tunnel scene shot is really cool.
Yeah, they do a lot of...
Deep blacks.
I was really impressed because the scene's, like, not a short scene.
No.
It's kind of long.
Yeah.
But it stays fresh visually the whole time.
Yeah.
They're playing with different focal lengths. Like, some shots are compressed. Some of it, like, they're playing with, like, reflections in the water. Like, I don't know. I was
It's very cool.
I was very aware of how long the scene was going, but I was like, okay, I'm in this. Like, yeah. What's happening?
And then she's, like, running from the Naked Man, or from the man. We don't even know if it's the same one, because then she stumbles across the Naked Man later in the,
Yes. The so, yeah, they very much show that, their cards with that guy.
Yeah.
Very soon, because they explicitly show that he's stalking her.
Yeah, and then he comes to her house and like tries to break in, but then she calls the cops and he's arrested, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the movie doesn't treat him like a monster, like in a monster movie would. They treat him just like that's a man who's stalking her, which I think is really smart that they did that.
Why did they make the decision in the scene where he's arrested? Why is one of the cops a female?
I think that provided like a sense of like
relief
to her. For her
character. I was just wondering that. I was like, huh?
Because there's no other women in the town that she's
it's
in.
It's all men. I guess I never got into why she came to the town. So she was divorcing her husband, and he was being a bad husband, threatening to kill himself.
Yeah, very very strong stuff with that. Kind of, like, just the material with that is,
like, heavy.
They go in with that.
And then he ends up dying, and it's left ambiguous whether he killed himself or he was trying to, like, get into the apartment from the outside and accidentally...
They reveal that in the third act. They reveal, like, whether or not... Well, no, they reveal it in her conversation with the priest
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, whether or not she doesn't know. Like, yeah. She said he must have went... upstairs to try to climb down, or he just let himself go.
Yeah.
But in the beginning of the movie, I kind of assumed that he just jumped.
I did too.
But yeah, that's how I saw it.
I really like the flashback scenes with her and her husband. I think they're good.
It's one of those things where I don't know, it just feels like a little one note sometimes. We're going through a trauma very often,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how much that worked for me.
Sure.
Because eventually in one of the scenes he hits her. He punches her.
Yeah.
And she does have a bloody nose in the beginning of the movie.
I knew it was coming because she had a bloody nose.
So he hits her. And she's like, get out.
Yeah,
like,
she kicks him out. Great acting.
You don't get to apologize. Mm.
I like the color palette of the...
they shoot that like very like orange and red. It's kind of unsettling. Like, it's a little intense. So I
showing
like
his dead body was intense. That was an intense reveal.
Again, visually, Alex Garland understands it. Like, he gets it. Like, the way he captures an emotion of a scene.
Yeah.
And just how he uses the light and color and mm-hmm. everything. Like, it works, but... The downfalls for me are like when he explicitly is saying what he's trying to show.
So what in this movie did that for you?
Every dialogue scene with one of the men. Where it's so plastered on the wall for you.
Yeah.
Like the scene with the priest really bothered me. Because for a moment there he's kind of there for her. And he's it's like a therapy session. He's letting her explain, and he goes into like the guilt she must feel, and then he just derails.
Yeah.
To like, he's like, you must blame like you blame like he kind of blames her for it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why all men punch, like, who the fuck says that?
Yeah.
Who? No. Maybe. Well, people do say that, but it just comes so it like blindsides you, to where the movie's talking at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, the men in this are bad. Like every man is like such a caricature of the theme.
Right.
To me.
Right.
Like they're very like ignorant, and which can work, but they do it with every single scene with the identical men.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's to me it just runs so stale. Like, I wish they would do something different with it.
Yeah, I can see that argument. It didn't bother me as much because there's not too many scenes with men that aren't Jeffrey. There's only a few. Until the end, until the third act.
See, that's the thing, is Jeffrey is so fresh in the movie. He's like the nice one.
Yeah.
But the dialogue written for him is... it like wavers. Like yeah. It's like it's not. It doesn't like with the priest. It doesn't come out of nowhere. Like he says right. some stuff, and you kind of like you can dive into him and be like, oh, he's
right.
You
know, but he's like still a fresh character.
He's a fresher character than everyone else. Yeah, because like in the whole beginning, there's a whole gag where he's like, no, I'll get your bags.
That's a funny gag.
Just kind of like the man feeling like he needs to do that yeah. for the woman. Like
one of my favorite lines in the third act is actually, "You'll never make it in the army," my father said. Gotta do.
Yeah.
Out the door. Like that was funny. I liked him. And that's one. I think that's my favorite Rory Kinnear performance in it. I think he's really good as that character.
Mm-hmm. I think the main pull, like the main like creepy thing that is very much in your face. Is just how he plays identical characters.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
He plays all the men.
Plays every man in the movie except for, of course, her dead husband.
He got naked as fuck for this movie.
Yeah, he very much got naked. I don't know. Is it as surface level as I think it is? Like, all men are this man?
I think it's a movie saying all men.
Right.
And I think it's a movie arguing that it's all men because even the nice men are complicit.
Right, right. This is a movie where I agree with its sentiments, but I don't like how it's done. I think it's a little one note.
Mm-hmm.
But I
like the main symbolism that's so fucking weird on the third act is this man giving birth over and over and over. He gives birth to someone that gives birth, and it's saying that men breed other men in terms of the behavior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is a behavior that is a cycle.
Men keep breeding. I get
what it's saying, and then eventually it gives birth to her husband, who is like I forget the lines in the last scene, but
I can see how that if we want to talk about that whole sequence.
Oh boy,
I can see how that works for. I can see if that worked for somebody. To me, it was like a gag. Like it ran really long. He just. How many times did he do it?
It was like four times or something.
It's like four or five times.
Yeah.
And it almost did the thing where it kind of just, it's so grotesque.
Yeah.
And it kind of desensitizes you in like 2 seconds. Yeah. Because you're like, the first time it happens, you're like, what the fuck?
The first time, and the visual effects are impressive for the scene.
Yeah. Super impressive. It looks great.
Especially the last one where he like, it's coming out his mouth and like the feet pop. Like I was like, that's. Creative imagery.
It's very reminded creative me of
like
imagery.
The thing. Like right. What the fuck's going on here?
And by that time, I was like so out of it to where I was like I didn't react.
Actually laughed.
I did laugh. I laughed. It was like a gag. It kept happening. It was like comedy in threes. Like it was like I was very thrown off. I didn't feel how I think it wanted me to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me a little annoyed.
I kind of agree with everything you're saying, and I kind of disagree.
Uh-huh.
I agree that I don't love the third act of this, and I think it does kind of, it definitely shows its flaws much more in the third act, but I also like a lot of the ideas here. I just think that he runs a lot of them too long, and, I don't know. It's like really hard to describe my thoughts on this movie coherently because I know what I want to say. I know like what I enjoyed a lot of this more than everyone else I think in our friend group, but I
think the film is very apparent on what it's going for from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's very, it has those themes. It illustrates that visually. It ends up doing that.
Yes. Yes, it does.
It ends up, and I think that could have worked in a movie that says less. Because it really, like, there's just a lot of scenes were, in my opinion, just bad. Like, I was just like, why are they explaining everything?
Right.
Like, the pull of the movie, they never explain, they drop breadcrumbs of, like, why this man is identical to other men. It has that pull where like, oh, I would love to like this movie enough to want to figure that out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they don't try to tell you.
I am and too.
It visually like serves the theme of the movie.
Right.
But the theme of the movie is bashed over your head so much to where I was...
It's not subtle.
I was out of it.
It's not a subtle movie. again, it's so, I haven't even formed my own thoughts on this movie. It's
I saw it an hour ago.
I think people are going to hate it. I think it's going to get an F cinema. In fact, let me check the cinema score.
Check the cinema score.
Because I know that Annihilation got a C. If Annihilation got a C, I can't even imagine, and Mother got an F. Mother's one of my favorite movies.
I have to revisit that. After this, I have to revisit that.
It's better. Mother is better than Men.
Oh, probably, yeah.
But let's see. Cinema score. It got a D+. That is higher than I thought it would be.
Everybody in our theater stayed. Every row had a couple people.
That is true. Like, almost, that's so weird that this got a D+, but Hereditary got a C-. That's so fucking, yeah, Hereditary got a C-. So did Drive. People really, really out here, I'm looking up The Lighthouse, because I want to see that. I never saw that rating. Any guesses for The Lighthouse?
I'm gonna go with B-.
You think if they give it a B-?
I'm gonna go a little higher. I think that movie has entertainment value, like, for a general audience. I think it's engaging enough.
I actually think Robert Eggers and Alex Garland with their horror movie, they are filmmakers that they swing. I think Robert Eggers connects.
I'm a Robert Eggers fan.
Dude, I love Robert Eggers. Come on. You haven't even seen The Lighthouse yet, bro.
I haven't seen The Northman
yet. I meant Northman. But they're definitely two of our, like, working big, you know, filmmakers in terms of, like, the indie scene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they rated The Lighthouse. I didn't even care enough. So, yeah, Men. You still at a 4?
Yeah, I'm at a 4. I just dislike the movie. I'm not putting on, I'm not gonna like, I think I would end up watching it again.
Yeah.
To revisit it at some point.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I was disappointed. Strangely, I got the experience I kind of wanted. I kind of wanted to be a little shell-shocked.
Yeah. Certainly shell-shocked me.
But it just didn't work for me.
I appreciate the risk.
I do, yeah.
I appreciate the Garland's bold voice. I think that he took a huge swing. And it connected for me. It wasn't a home run or anything, but he had a solid single. honestly, for now, I'll stick with a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I appreciate movies that try to be something different.
Yeah, and this does some pretty
good and cool while stuff. It does not work as well as his previous two films, it is certainly an experience that I'm not, like, mad at that I saw it. Like, I'm happy. Like, no, I liked my theater experience.
No, I didn't, like, detest this movie at all.
I was very aware of the friend group that we brought to see it, and I was like, oh, boy. Damn.
It's not a happy movie by any means. There's a little bit of levity.
Very little bit. From Jeffrey.
From Jeffrey.
The goat. But, yeah. But what do we know? We're men.
After all. We're men.
Men be men.
Men be men. That's what I gotta say.
So that was our Alex Garland talk. That's all of his directed movies. Right there.
Those are the ones he made.
Those are the ones
so that far. He made. I'll be there for the next one.
I still gotta see Devs. Heard that was good.
Oh, that's his TV show, yeah. Right? I haven't seen that.
Never watched that. That's the episode. Yeah. Thank you, Dom, for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Me. Yes. Jordan's not here. He's here in spirit.
He's right next to us.
Plug away. Where can people find you?
Oh, my gosh. you can find me on Twitter at Dom Ragazzi. You can find me on Letterboxd at the same name.
Yeah?
That's pretty much it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You can follow the podcast if you like it on Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Shakedown, and you can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd at Kyle Craigbaum. That's KrieghBaum. Next week, we are going to be talking about Top Gun Maverick,
ooh,
the new blockbuster, Tom Cruise, getting rave reviews right now. So we're also going to be talking about the original Top Gun, Tony Scott from the 80s, 90, whatever.
80s.
80s. As well as the Bob's Burgers movie. So we got, you know, we got a double feature plan or whatever. That's what we're talking about next week. We will see you guys then. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.